The stamp duty holiday, which allowed first-time buyers to avoid stamp duty land tax on up to the first £500,000 of a house purchase, has come to an end, but it has raised a number of questions as to how the tax should operate going forward. Despite the holiday, which was brought in to ease the impact of the pandemic, the government has made more money than ever. Stamp duty land tax receipts for July 2021 soared to their highest monthly level on record, totalling £1.3 billion. HMRC said the surplus was down to an exceptionally high number of transactions following the stamp duty holiday wind down, which saw a number of deals settle in July due to the 14-day payment window. So today we'll discuss how likely it is that the government will consider moving the tax brackets again or even permanently ahead of the budget later this month. We'll also discuss whether the stamp duty holiday has proven the tax is, at least in its current state, outdated. I'm Damien Fantato, digital editor at FT Advisor, and joining me today to discuss this are Mark Hayward, Chief Policy Advisor at PropertyMark, and David Hollingworth, Associate Director of Communications at L&C Mortgages. Hello, both.
Hello.
Hi, Damien.
So I'd like to start by briefly discussing whether you feel the stamp duty holiday has proven that this tax is outdated or is now irrelevant. Mark, what do you think?
I think if you look at it on the surface, you could say the current strength of the housing market, the boom, if you want to call it that, is all down to the stamp duty holiday. And when that stamp duty holiday was announced and we, I put my hand up, we campaigned vigorously for it during the initial first lockdown. And when the brakes came off, we were expecting probably a blip, but in fact, we had an avalanche. But I think if you look at the reasons why people are moving now, it's not just because they could have saved money on stamp duty. There are a whole other set of reasons why people have reevaluated where they live, the property that they live in, the size of that property, their location, whether that's in relation to work or whether it's in relation to access to family and friends. So it has been a coming together, I suppose, of a complete reappraisal of living and where I live. And it's not just contained within this country. We know in Europe they're seeing the same sorts of trends, certainly the same trends in the States. So it is, yeah, it is the way people look and consider where and why they want to live where they are. And of course, when you look at the fact that a lot of them are now working from home, have been, and may well continue, that features in it as well. Money's remain cheap. That's not going to last forever. There are a whole loads of factors here that contribute to the position that we're now in.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I'd concur. I mean, what's really difficult to understand is whether that surge in demand, how much of that came about as a result of the stamp duty holiday itself. Stamp duty holiday certainly did no harm in that. But of course, what it does do is bring those deadlines, which cause the massive spike and logistical issues that the whole market has to contend with, as those deadlines are reached, and you see those massive spikes of completions. But that sounds a little churlish, I suppose, because when we went into lockdown, certainly the market would have been looking for something like this. And what it very, very successfully does is show buyers that the market is open and ready for business, which of course for a period of time it was very much closed down. So I think is it outdated? I think we've always wanted to see different reforms, and that kind of conversation has gone on for a long time now and is likely to persist, but I don't think that we're necessarily going to see it disappear permanently. It's just how much does it stop buyers buying? You know, I think if someone's made a decision and fallen in love with a property, stamp duty isn't probably going to be the deciding factor about whether they buy that property or not.
Mm-hmm. As we've come out the other side of the stamp duty holiday now, David, what do you think the long-term impact of stamp duty's reinstatement is going to be as the housing market continues?
Yeah, so it's back to a case of as you were, I suppose. I'm inclined to agree with Mark in terms of the fact that working from home, how offices start to return to business, you know, many looking at a hybrid approach, that to my mind is likely to see demand in the housing market persist, because I think those who haven't made that move because of a more urgent need to get more space, get outdoor space, get office space, all of those things, there will be a cohort, I think, who've been waiting to see what happens, because they may even be able to just completely rethink their location. So rather than being within commuting distance, they may be rethinking, now that their work situation becomes more clear, about a move further afield and how that could work for them. So I'm inclined to think that demand will continue for some time. And of course, that's supported by the very low mortgage rates that we currently have. Although, again, we can't rest on our laurels there, because there's certainly going to be some upward pressure on rates.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mark? How do you think the reinstatement of the stamp duty is going to impact the market?
I think it will certainly has an impact on affordability. But I think the other thing that you need to look at the moment is the basic economic principles of supply and demand. Supply is at an all-time low. It's at the lowest level that it's been since records began. And when I say lowest level, the number of houses available to buy. So that is very, very limited. And that's not just in areas of high desirability, but throughout the country. And whilst that remains, I think the housing market will continue to be strong. If we look back at housing slumps in the past, it was always combined with extensive general inflation, high interest rates, high unemployment, and general high availability of properties. So we haven't got those distressed properties out there being sold. We haven't got people being squeezed particularly. We know the employment situation is very strong at the moment in this country. So I think for the time being, and, you know, we can't mitigate for things that we don't know will happen, whether you want to call it the grey rhinoceros or the black swan or all these unexpected things that might happen. I think generally the market will remain. We know there's confidence out there. We know that from our members throughout the UK that there is a huge desire to move and to buy.
Mm-hmm. So looking forward, how likely, Mark, would you say it is that the government will consider moving the tax brackets again, whether permanently or temporarily?
I think probably what is likely, that will be a wholesale reevaluation of property taxation, full stop, and that will include council tax, capital gains tax, how investment property is viewed. I don't think they've done very well out of this in terms of revenue. They need that revenue. We know the government is looking for income wherever it is. So I don't think we're going to see, certainly not in this spending review, a wholesale giveaway.
What do you think, David?
I mean, it's been used as a way to structure and favour certain types of buyer. So landlords have certainly not fared too well on that front. And stamp duty has been one of the tools that has been used to single them out as being that market being dampened. First-time buyer relief, of course, remains in place. And I think the longer that first-time buyers have some benefit, that feels like that will become a permanent fixture, or should, if we retain stamp duty in its current format. The big question is whether we get into this larger reform, and that's been, an ongoing conversation for as long as you can remember, because house prices have been rising. And as that happens, more people will end up paying more stamp duty, and that has the knock-on effect of affordability, because it's not just first-time buyers who are finding that deposit requirements and affordability issues are something that they find difficult and challenging to contend with.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned buy-to-let, David. It hasn't been, from a tax perspective, it hasn't been a great few years to be in the buy-to-let space. Do you expect that trend is likely to continue?
I don't think we can take probably too much heart from the fact that they benefited from the stamp duty holiday recently. I think that was a good move, because to discriminate against different sectors would have felt like the wrong approach in a difficult time. But I don't really see there's any signs that there's going to be a reversal of the approach to buy-to-let, full stop. And of course, that's been extended to overseas borrowers as, again, as a kind of very visual approach to how they're trying to make sure that property is remaining more affordable for people here.
Do you think that it's going to continue to be a taxing time, if you'll excuse the pun, to be a buy-to-let landlord, Mark?
I think it will. The government, not just the government, the Chancellor and the Prime Minister have both stood up to say the UK should all be about home ownership. People should own their own home, and I think currently that is their goal. We know there's the Renters Reform White Paper, which started off as a bill, but it's now a white paper, and that the Housing Minister commented on that at the party conference, in effect that they will want a register of landlords, which we don't have. They have that in Scotland and Wales, but we don't have that there. But the only reason I think they want a register of landlords is to find out who they are, and then they can look at them to gain further revenue. So I don't think we're going to see any huge change.
I think it will be quite interesting to see whether some of the energy efficiency requirements that are on landlords already, whether stamp duty starts to play a role in that kind of work, because could it be that with the requirements for us to make our homes more energy efficient, would stamp duty be a lever that they might pull on to try and incentivize homeowners to make those improvements? Because it's all the existing housing stock that probably, you know, drafty Victorian house like I'm sat in right now needs those improvements to be made if we're going to really strive for to make real gains from a climate change perspective. Stamp duty could be a way that actually, if you incentivize it on more energy efficient property, that might be something that would get us to actually get off our backsides and start to make those improvements, which can, of course, be costly.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that, Mark?
We know, and I'm sure David knows, that the government is already looking at greener mortgages. They're seeking to ascertain from lenders what the average EPC is on their loan book. We already know that on the rented sector, they're increasing the minimum EPC that your property has to have to let it. So all that, I think, is combined. David's right that they will come and seek to encourage, with a capital E, but as you said, David, it's going to be expensive to improve property. And if you think, you know, we've got 23 million homes in this country, we're currently only conveying just over 1 million a year. So it's going to take a long time to get around to people having to improve their home. And what we know then, that will then be an impediment to people putting their houses on the market, because it doesn't come up to the right EPC level, or it's going to be so unattractive if we have an SDLT penalty that they won't actually, they'll just stay put.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, Mark, a little earlier, the potential for a more wide-ranging review of the way property is taxed. There have been all sorts of suggestions about this, you know, wealth taxes, you know, land value taxes, all sorts of different things. What would you favour?
It's very difficult when we're all sitting in our own homes and we're probably all homeowners. I think whatever they do has got to be transparent. It's got to be affordable. You know, as you say, we've talked about wealth tax. We've talked about mansion taxes, which was going to be applied not to properties, but mansions that were just over £1 million. Now, the number of those has increased. We know, for instance, France has a wealth tax of whatever it is, 0.5%, I think, of your wealth over a certain figure. It's great, but people have to pay for this. You have to take away what you can't continue to pay your council tax of £2,000 to £3,000 a year if you've got to pay a wealth tax. So, as I say, it needs to be looked at in the whole. We know there's probably going to be a general election within 22 months plus. So the government may well look at something that is not going to be off-putting to what they consider to be their hardcore voters.
David, what would you favour if there was to be a sort of a wider review of the way property is taxed?
I've learned to try and deal with what you're given, really. but I think one of the, if we look at the sort of fundamental issues with stamp duty, the criticism would come from issues like older homeowners staying in larger properties than they require, put off by the fact that they may face stamp duty bill. So is that a lack of mobility that that it creates that can pose its own issues in terms of that natural turnover of stock that you'd expect? So you could see a younger family moving into those bigger homes as older homeowners start to downsize. And I think that's become a feature that perhaps we're aware is only exacerbated by stamp duty. So, but I equally, you know, I've seen talk of people saying, well, perhaps stamp duty should be payable by the vendor rather than the buyer. And of course, then that does actually have an impact on those older homeowners who were looking to downsize. So, look, I don't think anything's perfect. We were quite pleased to see the slab tax disappear, you know, the slab calculation disappear. That felt like a evolution. But as Mark says, maybe this needs to be considered in a much broader and global overview, really, of property tax, full stop.
Well, on the pension side of things, they've been hoping for a wider review of pension reform tax relief for quite a few years. So I think if you're going to add stamp duty to that, there might be quite a long wait, I think. Anyway, cool. Well, thanks very much for your time, David and Mark, and thank you very much for listening, and tune in again next week for the next edition of the FT Advisor podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.